All right, so now, and you guys have all seen this before. This is not new. I'm gonna show you something that's really cool about this. Info products pyramid. A lot of this is pretty simple. At the open end of our funnel, this thing's echoing a little. At the open end of our funnel, very wide. Typically you've been taught low end, you know, it could be anywhere from, you know, let's say, like here we got an e-product, is a downloadable deal. So that's the bigger part of our funnel, could be downloadable. Physical product, so it could be a course, an audio tape set, whatever. And then it could be a live training, an event. And that's the funnel everyone's been taught. Flip it over. This is my business. I was very impressed with this model, and Marlon came up this morning, he's like, who'd you get to the graphics on this? My graphics. So if anyone wants to hire me for some from graphic work, I'm available later on. I'll explain it and it'll make sense. It's very cool. All right, so now we've all been taught about the funnel. Think of all these little oil, what are these called, derricks? All right, so all these little oil derricks as an info funnel in itself. And the bigger the oil derrick on this diagram, the deeper you get into the funnel for that particular brand. The way I look at my business is I almost have like little franchises. So I got the 33 Days franchise, I got the Public Domain franchise, I got Underground franchise. And it's all based around a common knowledge, which is our little group of customers here and our oil here at the bottom. So we have our marketplace, which is pretty much everyone, and they're going to come up through the marketplace to become either prospects or customers. And the way they come up through this marketplace is what I wrote down here, meaningful contact. So once they get into your sphere of influence, you're giving them something of value, something that is going to get them excited enough to A, become a prospect, to join your opt-in list, and then get them excited enough to move them up into a customer. Then also we have launches, and we'll talk about that. So launches can bring in everyone from the marketplace to prospects to even customers and get them to move into your little oil deposit heel. So the bigger the derrick, this is the bigger the info funnel. So like this could be, I don't know, if you got a whole broad line of products in one very typical franchise, so this could be my underground franchise right here, which is a huge big derrick. And so then we have a lower end products, and we move them up, and then we got live events, and then we got other things. So the bigger the little funnels, the more you go. And then you also got your customers, and then you get your top end customers. So you're always trying to move people up into better customers. Now, taking this oil example even further, sometimes you're gonna drill some holes and they're gonna come up empty. Sometimes your oil wells are going to run out and they need to be replenished and re-drilled. Also, you can see here the arrows. So for instance, for mine, since we're dealing in the same subject matter, all of these are going to, you know, one is going to feed the other. So if somebody's a customer, for instance, sales letters, they're going to get fed into some other one of my franchises. And that's what these arrows are for. Now, we got here on the left-hand side is new markets. So this is outside of our little force field, and we'll talk about this in a moment. So this is when we're kind of, this is almost like R&D.
Wildcatting.
What's that?
Wildcatting.
Yeah, this is offshore drilling. So we're trying to turn peanut butter into a fuel that we can use. I've never been in the oil and gas industry, obviously, so. I'll work on these metaphors to make them better for you guys. But this is really what it turns into. And then all of this stuff, all of our production, here's our little pipeline. All of that turns into these barrels of oil. And these are some of the big paydays we can have. The continuity, like you were talking about, Art, that you want to get into your business, more continuity. We'll talk about that. Events, the godfather position, we'll talk about that. And then your big blue bubble here is your force field around your little oil wells. The stronger your relationship is, the stronger this force field is, your personality, and big ideas. And we'll talk about big ideas of how they can really lead to just some tremendous increases in your info marketing business. All right, so section one, we're gonna talk about info marketing research and idea generation. So this is stuff if you know, you want to come up with your idea, if you don't have one already, and we're starting at complete ground zero. And I totally believe that the questions you ask yourself dictate the answers that you get. So if you ask yourself the right questions, you're going to get the answers that you need. And you want to put your subconscious mind to work. And you never know when that answer is going to hit you. For me, it's in the shower a lot of times. I get great ideas in the shower, so I'll run out of there half wet and write down stuff. Jim Edwards, my buddy, actually gave me one of those waterproof boards, and Missy made me take it down. She said it was just too ugly. But the big thing is you'll never remember your ideas. Just please make sure you write them down no matter what you do. So have pen and paper everywhere possible. Here's the question that I asked myself was originally, this was back in 99, so before I had my first, before my first internet venture, and I said, how do I create a fully automatic website that provides an incredible value that makes me money while I sleep and can't just be an ebook? So I wanted to have something different. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I literally got the answer. I remember this, poking Missy with my finger. I'm like, Miss, wake up. Instant sales letters, it's gonna be great. She's like, oh, Yannick, just go back to bed, please. I'm like, no, this is gonna be good. And I jumped out of bed, registered the domain name, and as they say, the rest is history, yeah.
Why not an ebook?
Because I wanted something different. An ebook is still fine, and I still direct a lot of people to do ebooks. The marketplace that I was going to be in was business related, so there's a lot of ebooks out there, and I wanted something different. So what I did was I created a tool, and we'll talk about all the different ways that you can create info products. First month, nothing that exciting, $1,800, then like $3,600, and about $7,800, and then $9,200, and that's when a couple of people started approaching me and asking me, like, how the hell did you do all this? And that's when I started teaching based on what I actually did. So don't limit your thinking about what you sell online. I talk about this a lot, and actually Fernando's in the back there. My students sell everything from potty training, one guy does very well, six figures, to salsa dancing lessons online. So you're one of my examples for now. Here's Stephen Pierce, who got his start. He's since got way bigger. But he sold investing products. We'll talk about that. This is another guy. I don't think Andrew's here. He was registered. He didn't show up. Selling guitar lessons online. This is one of my apprentices, Abby Word, selling the Trichotillomania, how to stop your hair pulling stuff. And we'll talk about why I think this works. Here's one of my favorite success stories, a guy named Vish, who went to my underground, knew nothing, and came back and made over $70,000 in 45 days selling SAP information, which I don't know what the hell that is, some high-end software thing. There's Liz, you're on here. $58,000 a month from 30 hours from her first project. Carol Tuttle, I think her son is supposed to be here. Carol's a great example, one of my favorites too. She, all she had was just a book, a regular bookstore book. And she actually believed me when I told her that you can make a whole lot more money, and she expanded into a whole other product line. And then she did really well selling an event to other therapists. Here's the thing, don't worry about naysayers. When I first started doing this, almost no one outside this room is gonna get what the hell you do. And it's really hard to make them understand. My dad, when I first started teaching internet marketing stuff, I had one of my tapes, and he's like, he has a thick Russian accent. He's from Russia, came over in 76. He's like, Mr. Yannick, let me see what you're doing. I'm like, okay. I gave him a tape. We're driving along in the car. I swear to God, this is the truth. We're driving along, he's looking at me, listening to the tape, ejects the tape. He's like, people pay for this bullshit? I swear to God, that is the absolute truth. I wish he was here. So he probably wouldn't remember. He's kind of oblivious. I used to deliver papers. He'd run over my foot. That's the truth. They don't get it. They don't understand. I mean, my mom was great. She was really supportive. She had no clue what I did, but she's just like, go. Just do whatever. My dad's still like, even like 2 years ago, he's like, so, Mr. Yannick, you okay on mortgage? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. So nobody will get it. Don't worry about it. Don't let the other negative people who have no clue what you're doing bring you down. That's why you want to associate with other people who kind of get this and know about it, so they can also not only bounce ideas off of each other, but be a support system. It gets kind of lonely in your basement by yourself sometimes. All right, let's talk about some of the ideas, where you can get them. They start with ideas inside you. is where the first place that I always tell students to look for. So what's your own interest? What's your expertise? You know, really go back and think about it. What's your occupational, hobby-related accomplishments? I had people that went back. There's actually probably a lot of people in this room, or some people. Like Michael, you were talking about how you were a broadcaster, right?
I ran into a guy that had started a mentorship program years ago and pretty much let it die. And so I came in and revived it with him, utilizing a lot of the internet marketing concepts to make them aware, you know, of actually how people do break into this industry.
Great. So you took your existing expertise and went back to sell other people how they could do it.
Right.
Cool. Okay, perfect. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great ways, and I'll show you guys an example of a guy that did it. He was in the mail list business, he was in the mail shop business, and he had a real unique thing that he did. He put on a seminar, did over $400,000 with his first two seminars. So there's a lot of things that people will pay for. Hobby-related accomplishments, you know, let's say you're the best woodworker or in your area. By the way, you don't even need to be the best. You just need to be better than most people. Or if you're gonna take stuff from that's inside you, you don't need to be the absolute best, whatever, fitness trainer. You just need to be, you know, better than most people. And you can, as long as you don't sound like a complete idiot when you're teaching other people, then you're fine. A friend's interest and expertise. A lot of your friends or people that you have close relationships with may have really cool skills and things that they know about. Like my buddy that, you know, I was never going to do it, but I told him he should have, he knew how to pick up women online really, really easily using Instant Messenger. He had one little line that he used all the time. It was like a tested line, and it was just like, busy? ? And that was the opening, and it worked all the time. So, I told him, yeah, just make sure that you copy all your IMs and you can stick it in a book. Of course, that's too much work for him. My stepbrother for real estate, I told him he needs to have a course because he invests in college towns because they can pile 18 people in there and they don't care about the living conditions. And so they make more in rent. So I told him he should have a course on that. So, you have a lot of friends and people that have expertise. Also, check out the checklist here. I don't have time to go over all this. So we have a ton of information to cover. But check out the checklist on 25 and 26. That'll help you, just jog your memory of all the stuff that you've done before, all your jobs before, all the stuff that you've done. Ideas outside you. Magazine stories and covers. I saw this cool magazine. I didn't bring it the other day, but it said something like, make $400 while sitting at your computer at the office or something like that. I'm like, that's pretty cool. That'd be a cool little product. And it was an article, like two pages on dumb stuff with only like two paragraphs about how to do each one. But that right there could be an info product. Basically, keep your eyes and ears open for anything. Like for the Get Fit While You Sit, the way that I came up with that was on CNN.com. It had one of the headlines was like that traffic has increased fivefold in the last 5 years. And so I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Well, maybe people should be doing something in their car, like working out. and Jeff told me that was a bad idea for liability reasons, as people are doing their stretches and exercises, they're running into other cars. But then from that, it kind of morphed into other stuff. Get Fit While You Sit. Niche destination websites. So, if you're into some weird, crazy niche, like Nathan, you're into these the cars, and if you found this little tiny subsection of people, and you just kind of hang out and see what they're interested in, read their forums, check, become part of them. It helps also if you're part of that group. But sometimes you can stumble into that group, like if you go into Barnes & Noble and just look at all the magazine racks and just see all the stuff over there. You're like, holy cow, look at all this stuff. Yeah.
Just an idea for you guys. I actually own a couple forums now. I used to hang out on the forums for my niche, and it's actually been very good for positioning for me because these guys see this, it's a free resource to us to talk about this stuff, and Nathan's so great, he's doing all this stuff for us, and then I go and I sell to them now, and I have amazing conversion rates. I have people that just donate money to the site. I mean, I made like $10,000 off of one site that has 2,000 members, and they just gave it to me, so...
Well, that's cool. Talk about how'd you start your forum? How'd you get people there?
Basically, what I did is I actually just went to the forums I was posting on already that were related and put it in my signature. That was it. It was a niche that was no one really talked about, but right. I knew they were out there. And after I got those guys over there, I built a bigger site on top of that. So I'm working on that now.
Very cool. And then how do you market to them so they don't feel like they're being sold all the time?
Basically, what I'm doing...
See, I'm told you I'm going to put you guys to work.
I'm working on some of that right now, and I'm actually here... While I'm here, I'm trying to figure out exactly how I'm going to convert them directly to products. What I'm thinking about doing is doing a membership section of the forum and doing, like, video teasers, you know, or whatever, every month, and just being like, hey, you know, this is the project we did or whatever. You know, it's really cool. You want to see the whole video, like the whole one-hour video, whatever, click here, you know, $14.95 a month or something like that.
Very good. Yeah, Nathan's a perfect example. Actually, there's a cool example in here you'll like. News and current events, like I told you guys, pay attention to what's going on because you can also capitalize on news and turn that into a product. Andrew, you still have a microphone there? Didn't your wife do a Da Vinci Code product?
Yeah, again, just coming back to what you were saying, that, you know, looking at news items, there was a lot of obviously news. As soon as we saw the film was coming out, I said to my wife, who's a good writer, why don't you put together an ebook on Secrets of the Da Vinci Code? I forget the exact title we used. Anyway, so she did it. It took her about a day to write it, I think. Made it into an ebook and a book, put it on Amazon.com, some of the other sites, eBay, and sold like hotcakes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Bookstore, like I told you guys, pay attention in bookstores. Also, in the actual aisles themselves, you know, the stuff that is faced out, so they have bigger, you know, not just with their side or their spine sticking out. If they're faced out, you know, talk to the managers. There, people at the bookstores they want somebody to talk to. So you go talk to them, and they'll tell you what's hot, what's selling. Public domain, we'll talk about that. I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff out there. Here's an example of, you know, let's say we went to the bookstore and we thought maybe horses might be a cool niche marketplace. So look at all the covers. Those guys are getting paid essentially to sell the magazine from their covers. So all these could be bullets. They could give you ideas for products. Like here's, 10 steps to grooming greatness. Okay, secrets to judging horses revealed. So any one of those could be something. Five super horseback weddings. So you could even have a little weird niche product about horseback weddings. Don't laugh. I mean, people buy all kinds of crazy stuff. There's some more examples. I want to stick in your manual, but I thought they'd be in bad taste, but they're all over the place. So then we look at other horse magazines. And horsemanship clinics, over fences training. And of course, there's gonna be different horse people. You gotta realize, I'm not a horse person at all, but you know, so maybe there's equestrians and there's people that do them for show. And then there's people that, I don't know, do other stuff with horses. I have no idea. So you want to figure out which the marketplace and then talking to them, but you know, maybe jumping fences is a big deal. So then you put together something on that. Here's another horse magazine, and this is all about, health of horses. And you want to go to the magazine's website. So here's the website for this Equus or whatever the hell you say it. And you can see they got a forum here, and we want to check out their forum, see what those people are talking about, how they're talking, what's going on, and really just become part of it. So your ideas are just everywhere. Let's talk about some marketplace characteristics of what makes a good market. So as you're exploring this and you're deciding, okay, do I want to pursue this market or not? One is, do they have money? That's a pretty important characteristic. If they don't have money, it's pretty tough to get a lot of money out of them. Will they spend money? That's even more important, okay? Like tennis players and golf players, they share a lot of the same demographics. Tennis players, for the most part, are kind of cheap. Golf players, though, on the other hand, like I said, same demographics, but golf players will just spend all kinds of money on anything, no matter what you present them, whatever house, no matter how stupid it is, they'll buy it. One of my friends, Dave D, has a thing, Yoga for Golfers, and he says it sells really well. Basically, all you have to do is tell them that it's going to improve their golf score, and they'll buy it. Are they reachable? This is really important too. So if we can't find them, we can't sell to them. And they're not, we don't only look online, because sometimes there's only offline media available that's going to reach them. That's fine. And we can drive them online if we want, or regardless. Is there an enemy? Is there some kind of pain? And this is important. Is there someone we can sell against? Like an enemy, for instance, when I was selling to cosmetic surgeons, and I've recently revamped that, I'll show you guys what we're doing. The enemy is managed care. That these big wigs and managed care, they hate managed care, that it's just screwing their practices. So an enemy is good, because that's also pain. And more pain, the more acute pain, the better. A friend of mine, Dean Jackson, sells a book, How to Stop Your Divorce. Acute pain. The wife comes home and says, I want a divorce. Oh, you know, the guy, you know, looks for, if he doesn't, you know, if he's not jumping up for joy, ready to go start dating again, you know, he's not happy. He's going to go look online, and he wants his pain solved. So the greater the pain, the more you can sell it. Like, that's why Abby, with the trichotillomania, the obsessive hair pulling, those people are in pain, and she has a solution for them. Rubidity, I don't even know if that's a word. Rabidity or passion. So the more passionate they are, the more rabid they are about this. Like Nathan, your guys are probably nuts about it. They might not have that much money though, but they're nuts about it. You know, it's really interesting. Like different markets have a different degree of passion. Like even markets that you would think would be similar, like mustard, people who are into mustards and people who are into hot sauces. People who are into hot sauces are like crazy about hot sauces. They love hot sauces, and that's why you see all these crazy names on hot sauces, and they just, you know, like ass in Antarctica, or like all these crazy hot sauces. There's a cool place, if you guys ever get down, you're here in Bethesda, if you get down like 10 minutes away in downtown Bethesda, it's a place called California Tortilla, and you can see like they have an entire wall of hot sauces. It's pretty neat. But those people are just way more passionate than mustard connoisseurs. You know, it's interesting to see the marketplaces. Research. So if we're starting with online research, you know, we always start here. This is a real simple place. Inventory.overture.com is a place that I like to start, and I'll show you a screenshot of a couple results from there. But that's going to tell you, all you want to do is put in a keyword, see how many people are looking for it. Other advertisers and competitive spying, this is really important. If you don't find anyone else advertising for whatever you're selling, it's probably not a good marketplace. It's probably not a good product idea, unless you are like, you know, the forefront and you're starting a whole new wave of something going on. And yeah, I don't especially want to be at the forefront all the time. You want to be going into proven marketplaces. If people are spending money on other things, then that means that there's money to be had in that marketplace. So advertisers are a real good barometer of whether or not things work. Marketplace research and your gap spreadsheet. This is on the next page. Or sorry, we'll get into that in just a second. I'll tell you about it in a second. Affiliate sale. This is a real good indication too. So before you go out and create an entire product, you can sign up as an affiliate. You know, ClickBank's a great place for it. CJ.com's a great place. Amazon is a great place. You sign up as an affiliate, and they have you can sell product on pretty much anything out there. And so before you go through the headache, expense, time of creating a product, you'll basically sell it as an affiliate, drive a little traffic, and see what happens. Also surveying a marketplace, so whether or not you have a list or don't have a list, you can survey the marketplace, so drive traffic into a survey and see what they say. So I'll give you a couple examples of this. Here's the Overture tool. Horse training, right? So we thought maybe horse training might be cool. So here's 15,000 searches last month for just the word horse training. And then it goes on from there, horse training tip, it gets progressively lower. Horse training video, but this is pretty good. This would make me think that people would be paying for this if I was researching a marketplace. Then we go even further, and then we go to Google, and we see, okay, so I popped in horse training. Now I see all the advertising spaces are filled. All the advertising spaces over here are filled. Every slot's filled. That's actually good. That's good news. A lot of people are looking for, only one competitor or zero competitors, and they think that's great because they'll be the only ad up there. Well, you know, the internet has matured in a way now that you're not going to be the only ad out there in pretty much anything, unless it's like some really weird thing like horse weddings. So maybe you'll be the only ad there. But this is good. Then we go to Overture or Yahoo Search Marketing. So I go to Overture.com and I'll type in horse training. And then we'll click over here on the sponsored listing to see what it is. And then we want to, you have to type in a little code and then you'll find out what people are bidding, what the maximum amount is. You know, if they're bidding like $5 per click, it's not as good a marketplace to me just because it's harder to get in there. It's super competitive. And if they're only bidding like 10 cents, then it's not that good either way. So I'm looking for kind of a sweet spot in the middle. And this is pretty good right here, about 47 cents. That's a pretty decent sweet spot. So you can see what they're doing. Here's what I mentioned to you about surveys. So you can drive people into, this is really nothing more than just a one page. And all it does is ask people, hey, I'm gonna send you a free iguana book in exchange for your advice. And just tell me what you want, what you're interested in, what's the biggest burning question that you have is what Alex Mendocin likes to use all the time. You can use a piece of software called ASK database, as a real good way of capturing all this info. And notice he's asking for name and email. Here's an exit pop-up survey. This should all be in your manual, I think. Oh wait, let's talk about this. Okay, let's go back actually. Sorry, I should be working through the manual instead of my slides. Go back to page 38. This is really important. This is a spreadsheet that I use when I'm thinking about marketplaces. And what I do is I have a score of 1 to 5 for each of these characteristics. So our Overture searches. What I'm looking for is, you'll see on page 39 is some notes on it. So I'm looking for like 50,000 plus searches. And that's just not on the main keyword. I'm talking about, you know, your top like 20 keywords, top 25 keywords. I want to see if they got about 50,000 searches is good for me. Every 10,000 that's less than 50,000 is -1. So if I have 50,000 plus, it'd get me a 5. And for every 10,000 less than 50,000, it'd be -1. So if there's only like 10,000 searches, I'd only put a 1 in the spreadsheet. Number 2, Google AdWords page. Okay, if I can be on page 1 for a somewhat reasonable amount of money, I'll give myself a 5 there in the spreadsheet. And if I can't be on the page 1, then my score gets progressively lower. Number 3 is potential JV partner. So as you're going around researching all this stuff, you're gonna be all over a bunch of different websites. And what I wanna do is when I'm researching stuff, I always mark it, I'll bookmark stuff as potential joint venture partners, not competitors. And actually that little twist is actually pretty important. But so if I have a whole lot of them out there, so are there some good ones and are there some good potential ones? And what makes a good potential one, and we'll talk a lot more about this when we get into affiliate marketing, but what makes a good potential one is not a huge corporation, because typically they're not gonna do a deal with the little guy. Though some of you that were at Underground 2, Drew Kossoff talk about how he did that, so that's pretty cool. But you know, we're looking more for similar size businesses that we can do deals with. And if I find, this is more of a gut score. So the better I think it is, the higher it'll be. So that'll be a 5. Competition, no competitors. I put 0 on my spreadsheet if there's no competitors. Overly competitive actually gets a 1 on my spreadsheet, and a good mix gets 5. I put here overly competitive or bids over $2. Actually, the bidding has increased quite a bit lately, so I'd probably say over $4 would be overly competitive. Part number 5 is our Amazon sales rank. So whatever subject we're looking at, so let's say it's horse training. I go to Amazon, we'll type in horse training and see the top selling books and what's their Amazon ranking. So how are they ranked in Amazon if they're, let's see, if they are 10,000 or lower, they'll get a 5. And then for every 10,000 plus, we subtract 1 point from our score. So if something showed up as ranking of like 50,000, then we get a 0 score. That's just for one component. Number 6 is sales via an affiliate program. So I told you about that, signing up as an affiliate. So if I drove some traffic and I actually made a sale, there's only 2 numbers here. There's a 5 or a 0. So if I made a sale, I get a 5. If I don't make a sale, it gets a 0 on my spreadsheet. Number 7 is a bonus score. and that's if offline media is available. And we'll talk about some offline stuff, and that's really pretty important. You can do this business just all online, but there's lots of vast opportunity offline. And if we can reach some of the marketplace offline, then that gives me, I get more excited about that, and that'll give me a bonus score. There on the spreadsheet also is all our keywords listed out for us and the number of searches. And you can see on page 40 is I completed one for you, so you can see an example of what that looks like. And this is not any kind of intense programming on your spreadsheet. You just need something to add up your score. So this is really easy, and that's one of the exercises I go through.
I just wanted to know on page 40, the illustration, it looks like the example is for maybe anatomy.
Oh yeah, this is an actual example that I did figure drawing, and I'll show you this. This is a work that I took out of the public domain, and when I was deciding to run with it, I ran this spreadsheet myself to see if I wanted to run with it or not.
Can you give an example of number 7, offline media available? I'm not sure what you mean.
Yeah, a magazine. If there's a magazine that reaches that same marketplace, are there direct mail lists available? Good question, thanks Kendra. That's pretty much the two big ones is that I look for is if there's mailing lists or if there's some kind of display advertising I can get that would reach them.
With regards to sales via affiliate program, does that mean you've already committed to the pay-per-click campaign? Presumably you're PPCing to the affiliate program,
yeah,
is that correct?
Right. Yeah, okay. Some way I'm driving traffic. If we don't have a list, then yeah, we're gonna be probably, the first step would be driving some pay-per-click traffic to this page, because now Google changed their rules, so we have to,
right.
We used to be able to just drive it straight to an affiliate program, but now you gotta set up an intermediary page. And I'll show you a really cool example of what I'm doing in the wine world. They'll make this pretty crystal clear.
The subsequent or follow-up question is, how much do you fund that, or how much traffic do you want to drive before you decide it's a no?
I don't have a real set number, like 500 clicks. If there's from 500 clicks, nothing happens, I'm not very happy. 500 clicks,
yeah.
The affiliate page.
Is there a particular score that you, if it was below a particular number, you would not go into the marketplace?
I don't have a set score. Usually I'm using this as comparing between 2 or 3 projects. And so then deciding which one I want to go with based on that as a comparison. But no, I don't have a set score of a go versus no go.
Yannick, regarding the competition and the cost of the pay-per-click, you talked about looking for a sweet spot in particular. But
right.
I've found when people are paying a higher amount, obviously it's all predicated what you're willing to pay is on your profit margins. And with the $3 and $4, it's to me kind of a sign of a hungry market if other people are looking to spend that amount of money. If I can justify it with my profit margins, then I'm not going to be scared away necessarily.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Michael. I mean, most of the time when I'm advising people to stay away from that is when they're just getting started and they don't have that much money to play with. And if they get 1,000 clicks, they're really going to be hurting in that marketplace. But yeah, if you got a high enough price point, so a lot of things factor into that. If your economics are a big factor, like Ryan's $25,000 programs, he can afford to spend $10 a click, $20 a click if it converts. Alex, your big high price programs, you can afford to spend that. So it's a lot about economics. So this is not this is not the gospel of, but thank you for mentioning that.
I think it also depends on what are you trying to do, one step versus two step. Like our high end product, I mean, we test it and we test and we paid a bazillion dollars to write these high end sales copy. And there's only so much you can do online. Like our high end stuff, we basically generate the lead and then we bring out the hammer. We close them hard on the phone. And that's what we found out too. I think that's probably true of you guys as well. And I don't know. I'm on Brian's mailing list, and I really appreciate the research you're giving us. But I mean, that's how I see them doing it too. So
yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, Marlon, you have anything to contribute on research?
I'm looking for a competitive advantage.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going into a marketplace and there's competitors there, you got to say, can I bring something to the game? Is there an opportunity here, or is there not an opportunity? Like if you go in there, nobody has membership sites, and you have some know-how of how to do that, you've got something. You look at the marketplace, everybody's low price. Like when I came out with Amazing Formula, everybody had like low price stuff, and there was stuff that was over 100. Nobody was in the $60 to $80 price range. I mean, it was a long, long time ago, but I saw an opportunity there. So if everybody's, you're probably going to cover this, but it's about a gap. So if everybody's low price and you say, well, hey, there's nobody here that's doing something premium. Okay, there's an opportunity, see. If you go around and you see nobody, a couple people have affiliate programs, but nobody's really rocking with it. Nobody's providing tools. Nobody's really doing anything here. Hey, there's an opportunity, right? There's something we can go to town with. If you see nobody's providing articles to affiliates or something, there's an opportunity. You look and you see nobody's got recurring billing here on affiliate programs. There's an opportunity. I can come in, I can have a recurring billing offer. Now I have some opportunity going. I think you would look at see, I'm affiliate driven, so I'm really gonna go in there and drill down on the affiliate stuff. Right. And if I'm seeing, if you go in there and man, you see people that got better affiliate sites than you have or know how to do it better, and they got all the tools and everything's rocking and rolling, to me, that's gonna be really unattractive. So I'm looking for competitors that leave me some kind of opening. You know, hopefully the only opening's not on the low end. I mean, if the only opening's in $20 ebooks and everything else is sucked up, you know, there ain't a lot of opportunity there. You
right.
I'm opportunity driven. Is there opportunity here?
Excellent.
So that's what I'm looking for.
Thank you, sir. A lot of times I do exactly what Marlon said. Where's the opportunity? And so I want to analyze the marketplace and think about everything going on in the marketplace. You know, and where do we fit in? Where can we create some kind of unique idea, something we can bring to the table? We'll talk about that in a moment with big ideas. But here are my gap spreadsheet. So what I had them do was their site was called Success Secrets Revealed. Yeah. So what she was doing was interviewing regular people and finding out their secrets. And so what I made her do was research every other competitor out there. And so here's the website. What's their offer? What's their headline? What's their pricing? What's their guarantee? What's their USP, which stands for unique selling proposition? So what's their big thing? What is it? So what is the thing? What do they get for the money? And so if you go down and you look at every single competitor in your marketplace, and I'm not even talking about direct competitors, sometimes it's indirect competitors. Like, you know, if you're selling a cruise, Kyle, if you guys are selling cruise, another indirect competitor is, like a villa, people that sell villas, because that could be, if you're selling high-end luxury cruises, somebody who sells high-end villas as a vacation would be an indirect competitor. So you want to look at what are they doing? What's their USP? And then you fill out a spreadsheet like this, and just what Marlon said, you can expand the spreadsheet out, was how's their affiliate program? What are they giving their affiliates, if that's what you want to focus on? And so this gives you a really good bird's eye picture of what else is going on in the marketplace, and then we decide how we're going to compete. Other stuff that's going to give you insight is what we talked about, was surveying. So this is actually to a cold list. They're driving in traffic, probably from pay-per-clicks, driving them into this page like this for Iguana keyword terms, and then they're finding out what's the marketplace want. This is an example of an exit pop-up. So if you've set up a site, even if it's an affiliate site, when they're leaving, you could ask them different questions. Here's another one from Dory Friend. Page 47 is an email that I sent out to my figure drawing list that spreadsheet that I showed you guys when nobody was buying. I'm like, oh shit. So here's an email you can send out if you get into such a position. where you're like completely confused, why the hell aren't people buying? And you just basically bribe them by giving them whatever the product is in exchange for some insight. And I got some insight about what I should do to make it different, which helped. Here's the really cool super duper combo, which is all of them all together. This is what I'm doing right now in the wine industry, and I don't have a URL here for you for particular reasons. And it's actually under a fake name for another different reason. But you can see here, this is the website it drives them to, and it says, here's how to discover the next California cult wine ready to explode in value long before anybody else. And this is like a really interesting subset of the wine collecting marketplace. But anyway, it's talking about how you could buy this bottle of a particular brand of wine and it would explode. So this is the landing page, and it's really a sales letter to drive people to get onto a first in line list for this newsletter that I'm going to be starting. And I want all their info, if possible, because I want to direct mail them at some point. And so let's see if we there's anything interesting on here. We do a scarcity play where we're going to talk about we're only going to have 5,000 subscribers, and compared to big wine magazines, they got like 100,000 subscribers and so on. So we get their info here. The next page is bribing them for, I'm saying, okay, I'm going to give you this little free ebook, and I just created this ebook real fast on collectible wine secrets. And the way they get that book is by filling out this survey for me. So I want to get some info from them. You know, what kind of wine do they drink? How often they drink it? One sip. You know, what do they do? You know, how often they buy wine? What price range do they spend it in? And then on the thank you page is an affiliate offer. So we tell them, hey, you know, we're going to see you soon. In the meantime, you might be interested in some of these interesting resources I've assembled for you. Fine wine resources, and all of these are affiliate links, so I can see if we make a sale. So it combines all of this into one. Yeah, we had, where's the microphone? We had some questions over here.
Do you offer something like that ebook at the beginning so people give you the full data information? Because I don't know if people feel like hesitant of giving their address and...
I would recommend giving them something. In this case, the only thing I'm giving them is an opportunity to get into the first in line list. So get first notice about this newsletter, because it's going to be scarcity driven newsletter that we're only having X number of subscribers. So that's the only thing I'm giving them. But yeah, I would recommend giving them something. I just didn't have anything else to give them. If my ideal situation would be give them something and get them on that list, and then give them something else in response for the survey. But I didn't have anything else.
That's for a paid newsletter, right?
This will be a paid newsletter,
will
yeah.
Be. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not writing it. Someone else is doing the content.
What software or behind-the-scenes service are you using to capture all this?
Good question. Like I mentioned, Ask Database is a good one. For this one, I use a one-minute poll, oneminutepoll.com. I think it's O-N-E. I don't know if they own the number one.
Why aren't you using it all within one service, like one shopping cart, so that you can always go back and use those autoresponders?
It's a good question, because when I started my business, I didn't start on one shopping cart, and we'll talk about the infrastructure later on. Okay. Yeah. So I have a Band-Aid approach everywhere.
Either you or Marlon. Marlon had one of the most comprehensive surveys I'd ever seen. Did you come up with that yourself when you sent that one out regarding the Milsers, or when you guys are coming up with surveys, how are you keeping the questions focused enough on, so you're not scattering people all over the hemisphere?
I mean, for this wine deal, I'm just asking questions that I want to know that's going to help me sell them better. I mean, that's really what I'm interested in. For other stuff, I don't know, maybe Marlon does a better job of surveys than I do, actually. You want to talk about that?
What we did was we did like 5 rounds of surveys, because we asked the questions, and then we realized when we got back the answers that we had more questions than we had answers. So we took what we still didn't understand, and we did another round of surveys, and then at the end of that, I'm like, we still don't understand everything we needed. So well, I normally only will do one round.
So this wasn't a master stroke of genius. It was just I was confused by the answers, and we need more.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm just wondering myself because I don't do many surveys.
Well, you know, I'll tell you who I think does the surveys better than I do is Derek now at Marketing Tips that took over Corey's business. And Derek will give like a gift, but he'll send like a, because Corey started it. I mean, like a 5 or 10 page survey that really goes.
Yeah, I went through it just to see the whole process. It was a huge comprehensive survey.
Yeah. And so, but we just do, I just do surveys based on what I really, if something's really bugging me, like I really feel like I don't understand what the deal is with these people or what they're wanting, I'll just keep surveying until I feel I know. I mean, I'll do 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, until you really feel like you've got the scoop.
I've started off my list quite a bit, actually, and I kind of come from leadership development area, so I used to do a lot of 360s and stuff like that, so putting together surveys. One of the things that I found helped me put together surveys in the internet world is using some of that information. And I've put together surveys, and you, if you think like a sales letter, think your survey is a sales letter, and go through that process like that and start out easy and work down towards the what you want, what you really want. What I use, and I know Yannick uses one of the same tools, I use a tool called MindJet for mind zapping.
Yep.
So I use that, and what I do is I just sit down and use the brainstorm feature and just hammer out, what do I want to know? Boom, 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 just hammer all out and just let all the questions flow. What are the questions I want to ask? And then go back and put them in a logical order that kind of walks the person, just like a sales letter, walks the person through where you want to go. So if you start out asking, I always like to start out easy questions like, what's your time zone? It's very easy. It's, you know, it's like,
that's
okay,
great.
Easy enough. They'll say, I'm Eastern time zone, you know, and then I just kind of walk them down through. So by the time to get the end, I'm saying, you know, how much money do you have in your pocket? You know, it's kind of like that. Do you want to sign up for this coaching class? If not, why not? But it's just, if you'll just walk people.
Yeah.
I have found, because I was scared when I did my first survey because I had 20 plus questions I wanted, and I was afraid to ask, you know, because I wanted this one question is what I wanted to answer, basically is, would you buy this? And I was afraid to do it because I just thought it was too hard. So what I did, I just kind of took the approach of a sales letter. And people, I mean, literally 90% of the people who went to the page off of pay-per-click answered all 20 questions and left me a note and their email address to sign up. So if you just take that approach and ease, create the relationship as you go through the survey, I find people will answer just about any question you want to ask.
What I found that's worked really well is you take something that's already selling and you create a premium product out of it. So like a good example is, you know, I think I heard Jim Edward, and you mentioned this before too, people will pay like 5 to 10 times a product if it's in audio or video. And you guys did this with your product. You upgraded from the ebook to the audio.
Yeah.
And I thought it was
brilliant. Yeah, let's talk about changing formats.
Right. So you could basically go to somebody that already has a book that's selling and then just, you know, basically create a multimedia version out of it. You have the install base, you know, and you just piggyback on the fact they have a customer base. And you go there, let's just say they even, you know, you charge, say, 5 times what the original product is. Even if you give the guy the lion's share of the product, you still would make more money than if you launch a product from scratch and you skip all the part about building the herd because he or she's already got the herd built in.
Yeah, great. So. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we talk about different formats.
Well, just my experience with online surveys. I think quite a few experience with offline surveys, working as a strategic planner in advertising for many years. And basically, people like to answer surveys because it's called an Hawthorne effect. They like to be that you ask them questions. So it's not about being worried that they don't answer. My experience with online surveys and using SurveyMonkey for the job, usually I used to send 3 times the same survey, filtering with people who don't respond, and I got usually about 70% of answers, 70%. Answer back from the street sound. It's totally inexpensive, of course. You can do that the same offline, but online it's very easy to do. So you have to be worried about they don't answer because they answer and they like to do that.
Great.
We've spent many years doing surveys, mostly offline. We've been doing more online. But one thing that I've found, Ask Database is nice for online surveys to filter through, but there's a big temptation to ask a lot of questions. It's like just because you can. And in some cases, you do want to kind of ease them into where you want to go. But it's a lot of work to filter through all that information to find stuff that's usable. And we've got to a point where we only ask questions, you know, we're very careful about it and only ask questions that are going to help us make a decision. So, you know, there's so much dead information that you can get. and it can be a waste of your time to really filter through it. And it takes time to get a feel for what it takes, but that's one way to do it. Just ask information or ask questions where you can get information that will help you make a decision.
Great.